From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Here he is. He's my boy. There he is. Steve Azul's in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Professor, what's going on? This is the Blue Roundtable. We're going to talk camps and positions today. What's up? What's up? How y'all feeling? 929-477-4171 is the number. Azul, how you doing, bruh?
Not much, man. How you doing? A little late to the party, but...
Steve, you got your energy, man. I'm the one who's supposed to be dead, man. I'm supposed to be literally dead, man. My plane ride was 17 hours. It was ridiculous. Stuck in every
goddamn. Where the hell you go?
I went back home, my other home in Holland. I went to Europe, and we stopped over. We stopped because I had an emergency situation there, but we had to stop over in Nova Scotia, and that was mind-blowingly bad. Believe it or not. Beautiful country, but not if they don't let you out of the airport. And everybody there is pissed, and they're going different directions. And the attitude out there was just palatable, and it was just a mess. It was just a mess. But I'm back here, and the time zone just kind of drafted me up right now. So right now, for everybody, it's 8:01 p.m. on at Eastern Standard Time, but my brain is at 2 o'clock a.m. tomorrow. So... I'm just all whacked the hell on out. But how you feeling, homie?
Oh shit, man. I'm tired. I mean, this platform has went through a different schedule per se. It seemed like for the last several years we've always been on during playoff time, NHL, NBA around this time of the year. Excluding the COVID, right? Like before COVID, I'm sorry. Before COVID, we will always be on. I got a side eye on an NBA or NHL type of game. This year, taking a different approach, man. We're watching the fucking games, man. We're fans too, man. So we've been kind of postponing shows. I mean, there's nothing really going on in the NFL. I mean, we can always break down paper matchups. I mean, as you already know, the local hockey team has been doing their thing and fully supporting that.
I mean, the Rangers have the – look, let me tell you what I see in Nova Scotia. The Rangers and Nashville, let me tell you, man, I never knew there were so many Rangers fans in Canada, okay? Because it seemed like the Rangers have, like – most teams have one rivalry. Like, you know the Yankees are going to hate the Red Sox and vice versa. You know the Phillies and the Eagles and the Giants, they have their own rivalry. But damn, the Rangers must have five rivalries, man. They got the Capitals, they got Pittsburgh, they got the Islanders, they got the Devils, they got Montreal, they got
The Islanders are the number one.
Yeah, definitely.
And you already know this, go back to the 80s, '80s.
Man. See, one of the last hockey games I ever went to, I have a shame to say this, was in the late 90s, and they were yelling, Papa sucks then. And Papa retired in the 80s.
They still do it.
And they were yelling
it loud.
It wasn't like three fans. You know, it was like a banging a whole bunch of people at the Garden, man. I was like, what? This is incredible, man. So, yeah, so that's – but I didn't know there were that many fans up there, and they really, really had the Rangers back. And it was just – it was really amazing atmosphere. And, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a New York sports fan right now, excluding your basketball team, it's pretty good time to be a fan, man. The Rangers are thrilling everybody. Both your baseball teams are kicking, living behind, you know. So it's okay. It's all right, you know. Look, you know, cheer when you can. 929-477-4171, Steve. You're right, man. So, there's not a much. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
No, you're right. It's not much. Like, I'll be honest. Like, normally, my new approach to these shows, these Giants shows in the off season, I'm trying to use the Instagram or maybe more so the, you know, just social media, but primarily Instagram is really great, especially when it comes to boxing. But I'm trying to get a little bit more inside, firsthand point of view from the players' accounts, like on Instagram. That's why I say boxing is great for this. It's a game changer how I see fights now, because I can see how these guys are prepping and sparring and things like that. I be honest with you, I haven't been on top of it like I should, because I've been in and out with the hockey, you know, traveling with those guys. And but I do know one of the questions I was going to, you know, when we had this episode, what have you thought of camp thus far with the Giants thus far, but also positions, if we looked at it on paper, I was going to go like, you know, put it to you, okay, we take our guys, cornerback, our secondary, compare that to the Commanders, the Eagles, and the Cowboys wide receiver corps. Where do we stand up matchup-wise on paper? That's kind of where I'm going to go with it today.
I think we should continue with that premise, because I didn't see everything, and I have to admit, I'm just getting my feet back, so I'm a little out of
I haven't seen shit.
The last thing I saw before I left here was Darnay Holmes. It looked pretty impressive to me, and I was fixated on that, you know. And I said, see, that's what we need. We need this guy from an ACL and just rip it. And but that was, you know, he was in practice. I just watched the practice, and I saw him close to picking off a lot of passes and red zone attempts and just positioning and hitting dudes, even though somebody's got that no pads on them. I said, oh, is he motivated or what? So I watched him, and I can't remember his name right now, but there was a tight end that we drafted that really, really was impressive to live in. Well, there was two of them, actually.
Oh. Uh-oh. No, don't do that to us, man. You know how we are. We said this, like, it seems like...
No, I'm not predicting. I'm not predicting. I was just very pleased. I was very pleased. The Billinger, thank you, Daniel Billinger, hit my head. Dallin Billinger looked great, and look, let me tell you something. Let me segue
now,
off.
That guy, the guy you just mentioned, is he? Remember years ago on this platform, there was a tight end on the roster by the name of Jerome Cunningham. And remember, fans, we used to go bananas of how he was going to the Hall of Fame. Is he Jerome Cunningham good?
I remember.
Remember that shit?
I remember it well. They jumped on you for not believing.
Yeah, because this is that time of year. Everybody looks good in practice. I mean, not, you know, on some Allen Iverson shit, but... Like, how good are we talking? Like, are we talking pro, like, literal legit Pro Bowl? Are we talking, you know, practice squad Hall of Fame, Jerome Cunningham level? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we talking about when we, like, how does he look?
Okay, let me tell you the level I'm saying he looked like. He looked like a pleasant surprise, and he's better than I expected. Beckett, I don't see him going to the Pro Bowl yet. I don't have him going to Canton with a yellow jacket. I just see him pleasantly surprising us, you know, with some throws by Davis Webb, okay? And I thought that, and in competition, in traffic, rather. And so that pleased me. That's what I was talking about. Him and the other one from North Dakota. I don't remember his name right now, but he was very impressive. Very impressive. And I said to myself, this is so much, and this is for you, Steve. I said to myself, this is so much better than. So much better. What an improvement. These guys were hitting with no pads. And wait. The other one in North Dakota had pads. When he went through his drills, he was ready. So I like that. But because the other person that we talked about so many times, who we don't say his name anymore, but he kind of sounds like this. He never hit anything. But you know what? I just like what I saw. And also, I like the atmosphere. And I loved also the number one fact that I saw on my Twitter when I was on a plane. My number one fact this week, Steve, is the fact that Brian Duvall and Joe Shane both went to the Rangers game.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
I love it. Games
as in plural. You know that the Rangers have been 6-0 since the ball has been there. Like perfect record, 6-0. Every game he's been there, 6-0.
That's beautiful. That is because they bought it. They understand what this atmosphere. I love it. I just love it. Now, let me just be clear. I'm not saying
I just hope he wasn't going to Saber games. And you know the Sabres have been bad up there. So I mean, you know, maybe you know he was. You know, when they were up in Buffalo, you know, who knows? I don't know that level of detail. But yeah, as far as thus far in the playoffs, ever since the Rangers lost their first playoff home game in that triple overtime to the Penguins, he's been in the building and he haven't lost since. Knock on wood. Got a game on Friday. So yeah, I mean, I love it. I really enjoy the you know, players from other sports come in to support the other team of you saw DJ LeMahieu, Aaron Judge, who's the other one? Oh, and Rizzo, Anthony Rizzo. You saw them at one of the Rangers games. Justin Tuck is always there. Yeah, Justin Tuck is always there.
It's the hottest. That's what happens when you have winning squads at the Garden, man. I mean, it's star-studded. And we just got to keep that up. And I know the Rangers can. I'll just stay there with that sentence. Rangers have...
Really, I mean, and also, even if you want to get to the entertainers, like Method Man from the Wu-Tang Clan, he's on the New York Rangers commercials, on the Facebook page, on the Watch. Fat Joe, who has transcended, you know, on daytime TV now, he's at the Rangers games. I mean, Rangers games, this is not Knicks. I'm talking, you know, Rangers games, you know.
I know, man.
You know, for a long time, and still is, you know, predominantly, you know, it's not usually, you know, soul in there. But you're getting that.
Right.
Mariano Rivera was there. I mean, you're getting different kind of support because the team is so lovable. But the head coach for the Giants, to your point, games. He was there. He's been there. I think he's been there every game since we won, since the loss. I don't think he was there at the loss. Maybe I'm wrong, but he's been there through the nice little home street. So, yeah. It's good to see everybody there, man.
Man, because that's what I'm talking about. That's what makes New York City special, man, when it comes to sporting events. You know, my nephew today was telling me about I didn't see it yet, but I'm going to. Was telling me about some special on one of the sports channels about the 90s mixtape. Phenomena, you know, with like, you know, the record tournaments and this and that, and how they, you know, how they went together. And I said, yeah, I remember that. I was, you know, took a little bit of part in that because I was just gotten into the music industry around 93. And he said, he said, hey, listen, he said, all I'm doing is watching highlights. Were these games important? I said, let me tell you something. There were people during that time that didn't want to watch the Knicks after that. Because they were that palatable, that crazy, and the crowd itself, Steve. You had Hall of Famers going down gully to the parks, you know, in Manhattan. You had cats, you know, Juliet there, Jabbar was there. Magic shows up, you know, and the thing is, I told him, I said, what happened is we have this special atmosphere in the tri-state area, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, where. When we are really flying, when we are really hot, no matter what the team is, no matter what the sport is, everybody becomes star-studded, and they show the hell on up. And this is one of those times. This is one of those times. The Rangers are just doing due diligence, man, making this, doing what they're always supposed to do, man, which is just bring us together in unison and just making this one real happy friggin' situation. You know, and I'm loving it. But I segue, and I just wanted to say that. I just love what they're doing right now. Rangers just got the first pick, 4 years ago?
They had Lafreniere a couple of years ago. That would have been before the COVID draft. And then they had Kako the year before that at the number Yeah, that Rangers caught breaks in these drafts. So I give that, love mm-hmm. on that. Capocacco was the number two overall draft. I was at the Garden for that. For that draft party. That was the number two overall pick. And then the next year, the Rangers really lucked out. Nobody saw that coming. They won the lottery ball and got the number one overall pick. And that and those two guys in particular have been, to me, they've had been the best overall line all playoffs, out of the four lines. They've been the best line. It was Lafreniere, Kako, and Filippito, who scored twice last night. And Nahida was a number 21 overall pick back in, 17? And they had another pick in that draft who had, that didn't pan out. Which, who knows how great this team could have been for the next 10 years. Elias Anderson, who was the number 7 overall pick, he's now on the LA Kings now. And then Kratsoff yeah. was the number 9 overall pick, and he's still on the contract with us. But there's been a lot of rift between him and the organization the last couple of years because of playing time and things like that. But the team is so fucking deep. It's hard to find room for guys. Like, some guys fit, like, they have ego. I'm a top 10 pick, but you're giving me a fourth line. You're only giving me 11 minutes of time on the ice. And a lot of people have egos, man, even if you're 20-21. You might be the shit in Russia or whatever overseas, but the NHL is a different animal, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm listening to you right now. I'm learning.
Yeah. But before we get back to the football, I'll say this about the hockey. I'll be honest, Chris. I mean, the hockey shows have been fucking phenomenal. Carl's been on this. Shout out to Carl at the C-Notes, dropping knowledge. Of course, Ranger Prowse, Scott Glenn, shout out to those guys, man. It's been fun episodes because you already know, Chris, and it's been a while for the football team. The platform, what we do here week to week, is always better when the team is winning. The hockey right now has that juice. When the football team was winning, 6 years ago, remember we went to the playoffs, we had the book party. That year with the platform, the football was on fire. Football still is going to be on fire. We're going to still spit that fire, but it makes it funner when the team is doing what they're supposed to do, and which is win games. So this is hopefully, the Giants will turn the corner sooner than later because obviously the most popular sport in the country is football, American football. And we'll see, man.
But to your point, which I 1,000% agree with, okay, look, when you got the general manager and the coach and all the assistant coaches going to a New York Rangers playoff game, several, as a matter of fact, as you posed, when you see Spike walking around, when you see Spike walking around with a Rangers uniform, which I love it. We didn't get into that other thing that you jumped on me about several weeks ago. We staying here, all right? But
oh my God!
Wait a minute. You missed that, Joe, and all
that. That was treason, man.
No, it wasn't. No, we were quiet about that. Anyway, no, you mentioned Fat Joe and all of them, and that's because everybody is down. Everybody, look, man, this is a big, big, huge event right here. You know. Wasn't Judge at No, that wasn't Judge. Yeah, was it? Who did I see the other? No, you're right. No, that was Mariano Rivera. Yeah.
Rivera was there. Yeah, he was there at the Kings game. Yeah, I was shocked. He had the bomber jacket, the Rangers bomber. That shit was fire.
Mm-hmm. Man, they can't walk in without nothing but New York Rangers gear right now, bro. And I got to get on the ball because I ain't got nothing Rangers except an old T-shirt. I gotta get down,
man. Not even the Leafs jersey, or go back to the 70s. Any of the guys hanging in at the Garden, like Gilbert or Petule, and then any of those guys, Eddie Yakimin, none of them. From back in the 80s.
But that was my squad, man. The GAG line with Rod Gilbert, Dick Hatfield.
Right.
Can't stand Brad Park for other reasons. Let's see. Yakimin was a monster. Did Jackman make the Hall of Fame?
Mm-hmm.
As he deserved to. That was a special time, and we couldn't win it.
Those tough Canadian teams, man.
Oh, my.
Montreal was running shit in the 70s.
I know. Hey, Steve, one year Bobby Orr did it to us just by himself. I don't know what year it was. I must have been about 11 to 12, yeah. But he did it to him by himself. It seemed like there didn't need to be any more Bruins on the damn ice.
So can I ask you this? So let's connect the dots to the football. What could the football team get back to the level of what all the love the hockey team is? So is it at a start that the general manager and the head coach are showing up to hockey games? I think it's a great idea to bring that culture or experience and bring it onto camp and practices. Because if you're winning, you got to support the winners. Or you don't got to support the winners. I don't remember – well, then again, the Rangers weren't making the playoffs, so he gets a pass. I don't remember Dave Gettleman going to games, but then again, the Rangers weren't in the playoffs at that time, so he kind of gets a pass. Because, you know, unless the Rangers were going to the playoffs, they only went to the playoffs one time when Gettleman was there, and that was that bubble season. They played that in Canada, you know, the COVID year, and he got beat by Carolina. So I can't really... as much as I would like pin that on Dave Gettleman, it's not fair because the Rangers weren't in the playoffs. So this is their first time in the playoffs, and you know, real playoffs, not that bubble crap we were in.
Well, Steve, even though, okay, you know what you just said, you said something very important. You actually just answered your own question. What's it going to take? Let me tell you something. I'm a lifetime Ohio State University football fan. Okay. One year in the 90s, it was happening in the 90s, we got this new coach, us Buckeye fans got this new coach named Earl Bruce. At the prep rally, Earl Bruce basically treated the Michigan game, which is like a religious experience for Ohio State players, and you know, curriculum, I mean, just everything, just faculty, just the entire state. Them in Michigan have a special thing going on, okay? Special kind of rivalry. Well, he pretty much said, from now on, we're going to forget about this nonsense with Ohio State against Michigan because we have a whole – because this is called the Big Ten, not the Big Michigan. So it does – to me, from now on, it's just another game. And he got booed mercifully at the pep rally before his first game. And somehow he ended up there five or six years just because they had, you know, halfway decent teams and halfway decent records. But the fans never bought into him and never got into this dude. Even the sportscasters, Keith Jackson couldn't stand him, you know, because he didn't get it. He didn't get it. This is what we're about is what they tried to emphasize to him. But he says, nope, it's just another game. Get rid of this rivalry nonsense. He started ordering things taken away, like, you know, special mementos and awards and all that. And Bo Schembechler said, I'm not going to talk to that dude ever again, you know, because he didn't get it. He was, you know, and even the Michigan State, Michigan fans didn't like him because of that. Well, they got another guy that came in. His name was Jim Fossil. And Jim Fossil, at the very first pep rally, said, yo, we're going back to where it's supposed to be. You know, in 65 days, we're going to kick that ass in Michigan. And the crowd lost it. Everything went nuts. And 2 years later, they won that great national championship over and that special game, great game against Miami. You remember that? Claret and all of that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like old one-ish, yeah.
What happened is their coach came in and bought into the fact that what we have here is special. And in order to do it, we all got to be in this together. Well, right now, Brian DeBall, Joe Shane, and the rest of the crew, they going out to Italian restaurants. They eating pizza. You know, I don't think they took the subway yet, but they going to the Rangers game, and they are buying into this culture. And when you get all of them on your in totally ingrained in this style of life here that we have in the tri-state area, and they totally understand what's at stake, and they build around that. It's just going to be a matter of time before everything breaks through and we have something really, really special in East Rutherford. I'm going to let you know that right now. It's going to be great. That's how important it is. They know what they did was they didn't just come in here with X's and O's and sit in the damn office. They bought into the entire experience, and they're still buying into it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I'm loving it. I am loving it.
I can respect that.
The Yankees and Mets are next, probably, after the Rangers win the Stanley Cup. But that's all I got to say.
So if we look at it, right? Okay, because I don't know if you guys talked about it in some previous shows. Looking at our cornerback situation, our depth, right? And the Eagles made some acquisitions. Let's start with your team, your Philadelphia Eagles, man. Come on, AJ Brown traded from the Titans.
Like this.
When that happened, I was like, Jesus Christ. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a tough – he's in the prime of his career. You throw him with, of course, Devontae Smith. Man, I love him coming out of Alabama. And then, you know, Jalen Reagor's kind of hit or miss, but for him to be the third option at wide receiver is not bad. Just, you know, I know things go – there's the other things that go into defense versus offense. You got pass rushers, coverages, schemes, play calling, things of that nature. But if you look at it from a stand-up, our cornerbacks, our secondary matching up versus Philadelphia's wide receivers, just cornerback – or secondary versus their wide receivers, how do you look at that?
I see them right now as having the advantage with this right now. Okay.
Who's that?
Quite possibly.
Giants or Eagles?
I don't say that name. You know, the Beagles. Them over there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I see them having that advantage right now because we are still in what I call development mode. And they're in development mode too, but their development mode is a little bit different. They have a management squad that is a little bit more, a coaching staff, I should say, that is a little bit more invested in they band-aided and fixed most of their problems. But here's the thing. Devontae, okay, for instance, let's just take the wide receivers. Devontae Smith is definitely going to be their number one cat. Okay, but and they identified him as such, but then they went ahead and acquired AJ Brown to give him, you know, to give him what I sort of like a cohort. You know, but A.J. Brown has that personality where he's not going to be the second banana. And you still got Pascal on that team. You still got Rager on that team. And I forgot who else is on that squad. But you still got those kind of guys that are going to demand the ball. Okay? Quez Watkins. That's what I'm trying to think of. Quez Watkins. Okay. Now, here's my thing. When you come down here and you listen to all these so-called – well, I have to admit, the sports media in Philadelphia is pretty damn good. They know this shit.
It is.
Okay.
Shout-outs to the sports podcasters like the Blee Blue Show. I mean, they got some fire down there, dog.
Exactly. They know what – they pretty much – they don't believe in Jalen Hurts down here, man. They really badly want Gardner Minshew to be the starting quarterback of this team. Why? I do not know. They also believe that Gainwell is a better – they do this – Philly does this to themselves. They hurt themselves with the innuendos and the rumors and all that kind of stuff. They don't believe in Miles Sanders. They want Gainwell and all of that. All they care about is how long Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce is going to hang out. That's all they care about. So that's them on offense, okay? So you pretty much – well, no, Brandon Dickinson is pretty good too. But anyway, that's and Goddard is overrated. But that's just me. All right. Now, with those kind of tools that they have, they can really that's playoff caliber. That's a playoff caliber team on paper. Okay. For us, we've got another offense coming around with a brand new rebuilt line or a refurbished line. We've got our receivers don't look at all like they're much of a challenge to me. This is me, to Slay. Who else is there?
James Bradbury.
Bradbury now. I'm missing somebody in this. Somebody else they just picked up. They just picked up somebody else.
I mean, they got. Yeah, I mean, you said the main ones.
I don't remember. Whoever came from Denver. Okay, was pretty good, and he showed out last year. Okay, their defense looks monstrous compared to what we could offer them. Because every time you look at the offense, Steve, and it's just simple habit, you always look at the quarterback first. And I'm not going on a diatribe about that from Arson tonight. But
right.
When we get that settled, then I can truly tell you, yo, we could take them because of X, Y, Z in the third. But I can't say that. Right now, they have our number. Their secondary will just enrapture us, okay? We need a much better game plan than we originally would have had pre-draft because of the moves that they've made, okay? So, nah, I think they have the advantage. I think they have the advantage.
Since you went there, as far as their cornerbacks versus our wide receivers, just straight up, not even, you know, exclude quarterbacks, play call and things of that nature. Oh yeah, their cornerback situation is up there, man. In the NFC, yeah. It's definitely up there. Bradbury on that cheap deal because of our salary cap situation. I'm not one of those Giant fans that act like, you know, James Bradbury had one bad year and he's now on the decline. I don't think that's the case at all. I just think him and Logan Ryan just were in situations where last season it was just bad all around. Obviously, lack of pass rush, always on the field, things of that nature. But I agree with you on that. Now, just to go back one more time.
Harry Vincent, I was trying to think of earlier. Yeah, go ahead.
Our cornerbacks, what was it? Our cornerbacks versus their wide receivers. I may have to give them the edge, man. You're right. The quarterback is an intricate part, but I'm just trying to be, you know, straight up, try to compare apples to apples without bringing in the oranges. That AJ Brown trade it's an upgrade no matter how you look at it, because if you got to look at Rager as the number three receiver at this point,
right?
Him and Devontae, that's a good 1-2 punch. And I don't know who is Adoree Jackson. I'm not a big Adoree Jackson when we signed him anyway, so what makes you think that now Bradbury's gone? And then our cornerback situation, you know, Robinson is okay. You know, he has some decent games, but the depth of the actual cornerbacks, what makes – I mean, I'm just asking out loud to Giant fans when I ask this question. What makes you think – just comparing – we'll get to the Commanders. It's taking an adjustment to say that. Commanders and Cowboys as well. I want to see how our secondary looks against these wide receivers. What makes you think, you know, our cornerbacks – Robinson, who's on there, Dory Jackson, who's going to come up and stand up? Who's standing up in camp right now? Because that part, I have to go back to, like I said, social media, Instagram, to get Dory Jackson,
right.
What?
Right. Right now in camp, let me emphasize this, right now, Dory Jackson and Darnay Holmes, like I said, they look good. You know, they look good. But we don't have the depth to handle something like that, man. That onslaught. I mean, unless look, Rodarius Williams, he showed some flashes, really, really nice sometimes. But he's an unproven commodity. Aaron Robinson, I don't know, man. I think he can surprise us, but I don't want to say that either, because that means. Okay, then he's still a question mark as well. Okay, I'm just banking on the fact that I think our safety situation would be nice, but you said quarterback. We are just thin there. And losing,
I know. You want to include them too? We can. I mean, they are secondary.
I think we can work it when you put those guys in, and we've got some really, really good. Look, Dane Belton and Corker are going to be really, really good for us, but they're also green, okay? Right now, Julian Love, this is his moment to shine, a strong safety. I believe he's ready, but I'm not ready to give him the goddamn Pro Bowl hat yet. Xavier, he's going to be fine. We don't have to worry about that. That's who the Eagles receiver corps has to fear. Every time he's out there, he's going to be a problem for everybody that sees him in this division. But But talent-wise, we are not there yet in our secondary to handle the Eagles. I got to admit it.
Yeah. What about Washington? How do you think our secondary matches up with their wide receiver unit? I thought if you look at the Washington Commanders, I mean, we've had our issues with – I mean, I think every team had their issues with Terry McLaurin. I think he's an excellent – a very underrated, underappreciated wide receiver in this league. They do a lot. Every time we play them, we talk about it in every post game. These crossing routes that he particularly does. It doesn't matter who he plays against. He gets open and he makes plays.
How do you think about
their unit? Adding Curtis Samuel from the Panthers. I don't think they're as strong as the Eagles. I think we can have our way. I think we match up favorably against their wide receivers. What about you?
I think you're correct. The biggest thing about that is, yes, McLaurin is a stud. Dotson is going to be a monster. Samuel is adequate. Let's just use that term. But see, they've got Carson Wentz, man. And I'm telling you, we can exploit that. I'm sorry. I'm just putting it out there like that. I do not believe. I think the New York Giants secondary will solve him. They will solve him. I don't think he's telegraphic, and he's very inconsistent. You know, he had one fluke year, and all of a sudden he got a $10 billion. And after that, the spotlight's been on him, and he's not been able to produce. So, well, I don't know. I think I'm going to give us a little bit of an edge here, a little bit of an edge. McLaurin can fuck us up any day he wants to, any time he wants. Okay, J.D. McKissick might surprise you too now, okay? Because he does because he doesn't just play running back. Now they switch him to the outside a lot in the slot, okay? So and he has screwed some teams up. So you got to watch out for that game. Yeah, go ahead.
This is going for the attention. I was just thinking about it because Carson Wentz. Like, how often does this shit happen? Vic didn't play for the Commanders, right? Or the Redskins. He didn't play for them, right? He played for the Eagles.
No.
I know that. But how many times have you seen these quarterbacks from the Eagles end up with the Commanders or the Redskins? What, McNabb, Carson Wentz, Sonny Jurgensen? How many times does this shit happen? That's not supposed to happen, right?
You know what? And I don't think that's the only ones either. You're right.
There's got to be more. No, Doug Williams didn't do it. No, Cunningham? I don't think Cunningham was a
Garcia. I think Garcia did it.
Wow.
Yeah, Jeff George did it. You're right. There's something going on with that.
Why is it always an Eagle quarterback ending up in Washington?
I don't know. That is interesting. Yeah, I don't know. But I know one thing. I'm going to go on a tangent and answer your question and tell you, yes, indeed, we can take this team. We have the ability to compete over here.
You said the team, or are you talking about that unit? Are we talking the units?
We're talking about that unit. I'm sorry, they're not
okay.
The Eagles, wide receivers are talented, dude. I don't know if we can stay with them. I don't know. It remains to be seen because I don't like messing, dogging out my team, but. It's a little iffy
you're
over there. Yeah,
you're just being iffy. Honest,
right?
What about that team down in Texas?
Oh boy, this is the fear factor here, bro.
Who's on that team now? Is it
Lamb? You talking Gallup? You talking who else is? Tight end Schultz. You talking? They just got Jake Ferguson, the guy I always liked. That I was praying that we get in the draft. They got him. They got a nice line.
Yeah, he's been there for a while.
To make sure. So, and of course, the quarterback.
It was C.D. Lamb and Gallup. I mean, those are, Gallup's coming off the injury, so
he'll be okay.
You gotta kind of. He'll still be okay,
he'll be okay.
Okay.
Um, We're going to have a problem with this team, this particular team, because they have a certain rhythm that they play at that is hard to friggin' overcome, and they have something to play for this year because they're all bitching at their owner. One day Carl will come in and tell us all about that, but I don't know, Steve. I think they got our number two.
So you think the Eagles wide receivers as a unit is better than the Cowboys position? You know, just comparing those wide receivers groups.
Yes, I do. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because you have to put the emotional element in it too, and they're gonna want it more. The Eagles wide receivers as opposed to the Cowboys. Cowboys will say, oh well, you know, we're going through the motion. The Eagles, on the other hand, are like, no, we got to beat New York. Fuck that. We beat the Giants. And it's just a different kind of, momentum feel. It just feels different. I fear for this particular situation, but I also want to be pleasantly surprised, okay? Because our new DC is not in the business of really kowtowing. And he also knows how to exploit certain features of a passing offense. So I'm talking about just on paper alone, which I wish I had in front of me. I think the Eagles and the Cowboys are the most serious threats in our division other than, and I think Washington is not as bad. So, damn, Steve, you messing me up, man. I don't even know how to think about it anymore. But I think, look, we're just gonna have to be competitive, but right now on paper, Eagles got our number.
We're just talking about by those positions, or are you talking about
by those positions, the entire roster?
That's fair.
When it comes to those positions, they got our number. Yeah, because I thought about it, I'm like, oh boy. Yeah,
I mean, what about you mentioned Martindale, and then how the style he wants to play defense. He's got different pieces. He's going to get a Blake Martinez back, right? And you got the Thibodeau. You guys are not big on Thibodeau. Like, I'm more positive on Thibodeau than a lot of the guys are on this platform. I think he'll do fine. But the pieces I'm talking about, you lose Bradbury, but you're gaining your play caller and Blake Martinez and Kayvon Thibodeau. You're adding just on the defensive side. Do you think it's going to be more success despite Bradbury leaving, Logan Ryan leaving? I mean, that's a lot of leadership, man. What are your thoughts on that as far as the state of expectations as the defense as a whole?
As opposed to saying that the defense is improving, I'm going to say that the defense has been enhanced, okay? And what I mean by that is, okay, a lot of people were down on our front line, but for the most part, we're back together again, you know, with Williams and Dexter Lawrence, you know, you're getting, and Justin Ellis coming in, by the way, who knows Martindale, we're getting a sturdy line back. That helps. Thibodeau, I'm coming around here. We talked earlier about our general manager and our coach buying into the New York experience. Well, Thibodeau has had some really good mentors in the last 2 months, okay, with Strahan and Tuck and Harry Carson. I think he's been able to soak up some really fantastic knowledge and some an appreciation of his abilities, you know, as a budding New York Giant. Now you got him on the other side of Olajuwon. I can never say his name. Ajulari. You got Blake Martinez. You got Blake Martinez's leadership coming back, and Tay Crowder is coming off a really decent season. I think knowing the effectiveness of Rick Martindale and how he gets you to think unit team first, I think that's going to have a profound unit on how we play from here on in. barring injury. And they just may make up for some of the shortcomings that the secondary will have. And we're not finished yet. This is just year one of that. You know?
Yeah, it's incomplete. We still have everybody. I mean, this is what it is now. It could change in August.
This is what it is now, right.
Know,
right. Right.
Right, right, right.
And we don't need, say, David Moa or O'Shane or who else is here? Coughlin. We don't need those guys, Quincy Roche. We don't need them to be, you know, three down players either, man. You know, as long as there's a couple of packages that we that Martindale will work with, we will be in a lot of games. We will be able to compete. And I'm feeling pretty damn good about what we've got on defense right now, okay, because it's a mixture of veteran leadership and some budding athleticism with some of the new cats that is going to be enable to us to compete. This is not a six-win team, dude, you know, and you've got a different attitude in management as well. So I'm feeling very, very optimistic about what we can do on defense this year, Steve.
I'm outside of injury. Yeah, I think it's going to be better, but it's of course it's definitely not where it needs to be. I would call it a little concerned. I was just kind of shocked, not just our platform, but just Giant fans who have platforms and the social media, they were not big on the Thibodeau pick, and I just didn't understand why. Now, if you're taking personality out of it, you know, that's what I'm just looking at the player. Do you think, you know, I don't think the personality is going to interfere with his game, and I think maybe that's where people have their doubts.
Yes, and I was one of them. But I completely flipped over, and I'm on Team Thibodeau now. My problem was I was thinking, here comes what's his name? Out of South Carolina, has bounced around for a while from Texas to God damn it. I can't remember.
Are you talking about Clowney?
There you go. I felt that we were getting Clowney again. And I had every reason to think so. The way this guy was taking off games and not, you know, evading combines and I said, okay, here we go again with this shit. Okay? But since he's been here, he's been very accessible, and he's listened, and he's bought into what these cats have to offer and in the direction that we're going, and so I'm bought into him. What I wanted, the guy I wanted, let me clear this up for everybody that dogged me out since we've had the draft show. What I wanted was Kyle Hamilton. Okay, because I felt
thank
that
you for the change.
Yes, I said there's John Lynch for the next 12 years for the New York Giants. I immediately saw that. Okay, that kind of leadership,
I got you.
And I wanted that, and I saw it in him. I said, and he's going to be great for the Ravens. Okay, and he dropped down because he's not spectacular, you know, but he is steady, and he's going to be there for a minute. So that's what I wanted for the New York Football Giants, and when we got Thibodeau instead, I went But since then, I've come around completely, and I really do feel that he's going to be a special player for us. And you got him on the other end of the
line. I get
too.
It.
Oh Lord,
it's tempting because you watch Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame. It is tempting because, think about it. Now you're the secondary, the same conversation we've been having for 30 minutes. You put Kyle Hamilton there alongside McKinney. That's your best 1-2 punch in the NFC, if not the NFL.
Exactly. For a year.
But the domino effect is, where's the pressure coming up front? Because if you can't get pressure, and the Giants was terrible at that statistically last year, if you can't get the pressure, then there's more time for wide receivers to roam free. And, of course, in today's NFL, you already know where you barely touch the guy, they're going to throw a flag, which I hate, man. I mean, it's not like how it was 20 years ago. You know, like you can't even get physical, you know, without a flag. You know, you can't even breathe on the guy. And that's where I think the back end of the secondary has the most disadvantage, because I wish the rules weren't so loose. as far as, you know, even think about getting in the guy's way, they're going to throw a flag. So, I understand by the Hamilton point. I definitely do. And let me say this, I don't think I said this to you guys, man. The Ravens draft is kind of like the draft I had in my mock draft. Basically, my philosophy, how I wanted, it's kind of like your guys too, because we all had similar picks. The Ravens, it's kind of like, you know, we're Giant fans for life for the NFL, right? But if fans became free agents, like players could be free agents, I would be a Ravens free agent fan, man, because they did exactly how I would have did it. You know what I'm saying? Based off availability, position. Ravens got it right, man. And I know you probably like, damn, about that Kyle Hamilton situation. I get it. I get it.
That really, I just see him as, look, he's going to have a good career. And like I always tell, you know, bar injury from any of these guys. But Kyle Hamilton, I just looked at him and I said, okay, there's something special going on with that guy. His leadership is very inherent. And he's, 21 years old? And he always was the cat on that defense. If you watch the Notre Dame game, I know you have. He was the captain. He was what's the player? I'm future Hall of Famer, man. Played forever with the Panthers, with the Boston College. The Panthers, middle linebacker, next to Tommy Davis. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That kind of leadership. That's what Kyle Hamilton has. And they're going to have a fantastic team over there, too. Let me segue real quick for 5 seconds and tell you.
Sure.
Got to get out of him, okay? And they also they also had Demaryius Williams in that draft, too? Dog. Bro, they got Patrick Queen over there. They got I don't want my moments here. Bynes is over there. Calais Campbell's over there. They got some really, really, really – they're going to be very impressive. Very impressive. So I got you. I totally understand where you're coming from over there with that defense. You know, they would have been set up by Hamilton. And they had a town to have it. Oh, Ajabo. That's who it was. They got David Ajabo.
They had a hell of a draft, man.
Man, that's sickening. They're gonna give people hell. Look out for them. Look out for them. Look out for them. Man, damn Panthers. Right. Oh, my God. Glad we'd have to play
the now, we got to apologize because we didn't come on last week because you were traveling around the world. And, I'm sorry, man. I love talking sports with you guys for like the last 8 years, but there was no way I was going to come on here. And I hate to do it to the football people because football people have been very fantastic for this platform. But that playoff game, I had to see. Like, I know we lost, but it had to be like watching the Rangers. But, we'll be back on next Thursday to make up for it. We've been on every other week, but I'll come on next week. If you want to come on, we'll come on. We'll get into all these other positions and do the cross matches within the division. But I got to ask you this because we're running out of time, and I know we got an important game, and I got to get your thoughts because we haven't been on for the NBA. Mm-hmm. Celtics in 6, Celtics in 7, Warriors in 6, 7 sweep. How are you looking at this, man?
This is a hard
series.
No,
I gotta ask you.
I know you do, and it's a hard series for me because I can't stand either one of them. So here we go.
I'm torn too, man.
I've never rooted in Boston in my life.
I know.
Wow. But at the same time, I do want new blood, particularly from the East, for a change. Toronto did it a couple of years ago, but I had a little bit of a problem with that team, too, because they got lucky with a lot of breaks, okay? And, oh, my God. And I'm tired of the goddamn Curry worship and the Draymond shit on the other side.
Right, right.
You know, it just puts me in a bad position, man, but I got to do something I normally have never done before in a long time.
Don't say it.
I have to root for Nia Long.
Okay.
I'll say it that way. Okay. Listen, I know this has nothing to do with sports, but damn, bruh, I congratulate you.
She's done well.
The Celtics coach for pulling that. Woo! Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, I'm, all right.
I can't go Boston. You know that. Man. I can't.
Hey, I don't blame
this
you.
Is the thing, man.
You.
That
you
roster is a likable. That roster is a likable. If that roster would have played in Nova Scotia, New Hampshire, I mean, I didn't, anywhere but Boston, I could root for them. But it is Boston. And if they would have been in Philadelphia, same thing, same thing. I can't root for Boston. I can't root for Philadelphia under any circumstances. I feel you on an animosity with the Golden State Warriors because they, you know, I like Steph, but then I don't like Steph because he does talk a lot of gang of shit, the you know, the sleeping, you know, the mocking, the hot dogging and all that crap.
Yep.
Draymond kind of irks me, and Clay kind of gets, he does little slide jabs and shit. And I'm tired of, you know, I'm kind of tired of, you know, hey, Chris, you know I'm about to say this, and I said this to you before on this platform, I forgot what show, probably the Knicks or the NBA. Listen, man, Mark Jackson built that shit. I don't give a fuck what anybody say, man. Steve Kerr.
Oh, you think you're going to get an argument out of me? I'm with you.
So, I got that factor going on. With that said, I can't root for, that's another thing. I'm also about ring chasing, too. The Knicks only got two, right?
Right.
We're never gonna catch the Celtics even in my lifetime. So what's one more gonna hurt? But then again, I don't want to hear their fans talk shit. If I go back to a game in Boston, it gets ugly with Knicks fans in Boston. So I probably have to go Golden State. They still have more rings than the Knicks. So if I have to go Golden State by default, it's not easy.
I get you, but I don't want to hear. I don't want look. I hate it when the media, I'm going to bring them up, are so far up Steph Curry's ass. It bothers me. It really does. And now Draymond, with his mouth on every goddamn, seems like every media platform wants him to come on and say something stupid, and he doesn't realize he's being played. That bothers me too. Okay. But the final and Steve Kerr thing that you
brought
up.
Well, that's marketed for
him.
That is marketed for him because he has a top – podcast right now. So that's kind of worse than his been.
Right. Yeah. And Steph Curry, let me just say this, my final thing. Steph Curry has ruined this goddamn game with him and Damian Lillard and whoever else shoots from the damn Raptors have ruined this game. You can't get the third grade friggin' biddy team anymore to learn fundamentals, man. All these little kids out there in the park shooting freaking three-pointers and missing completely.
Whoa.
With no, they don't want to listen to the fundamentals. They don't want to listen to instruction. Now it's just all over the place, and that's the popular thing to do.
Well,
it's
that's the league. The league changed the rules, Chris. No hand checking. You can't go in the paint. What was the mid-range games? The cats don't play back to the basket. Oh, one more question before we go. I know, shout-outs to the football and people who listen, but this is a basketball question. What is that Magic Johnson special that's going to come on, man? Remember you said you were going to –
it's
already
on
out?
It's on Apple TV. It's already out. It's on Apple TV, and I'll be watching it.
Oh, I
got to
catch up
with it. Apple TV. It's called Magic.
I know you didn't like that winning time. And I get it. I liked it. Now, I talked to, you know, Dominic from the Knicks show. He didn't like it either. Huh? But I'm going to check out this Magic Johnson because I love, you know, going back to that era and see how things were now they're reflecting. Man, so how do you remember that era, especially, you know, with Bernard King? But that was the 80s with, you know, the Pistons were on the up. The Celtics and the Lakers were running shit. How did you remember that?
Like that. It was competitive ball. Everything was, oh, my God. 80s ball? Oh, it's hard to describe, but that's when Bird and Magic, Jabbar, it's too much to say, Steve. It was just a really beautifully golden era. It was made of teams. Teams were playing.
Philadelphia.
It wasn't individual cats, to your earlier point. It was teams. Even Bird, who everybody came to see, was a team player. You didn't just come over there and see him throw three-pointers. You wanted to see him throw that nasty pass. Thing else, let me just say this to everybody. Thanks for listening to a Big Blue Roundtable with Steve, Azul, and the whole nine yards. Check us out on iTunes, Podcast Republic, Stitcher apps, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Bleed Blue fan page, and all social media, Facebook, IG, and so on. Steve, what you want to say, bro?
I'm coming. Let's come back on next Thursday. Get some of the paper back on, and break down some of these positions. Tackle another area of the team. I think it had a good time talking, just on a loose endish with our secondary versus the opposing team wide receivers in the division.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll talk about it. You got all the sports in between. It's crazy. Hockey, NBA, the baseball teams are rolling. So, oh man, last question because I know the game's about to come on. Chris, we're transitioning into boxing real quick. I don't know if you saw the fight last week. I never saw a fight. I can remember where there literally was no exchange for six rounds, and just like that, just one blow ended it. Did you see that Tate Davis Romero fight last week?
I saw the highlights, but I don't want to comment on that because I want to see it. The thing about the boxing is you missed. You got to see the whole fight in order to get to really comment. So I missed it because I they didn't show it over there, man. But
I'll bring it up next week. It's really.
Let's make sure we make a note of that. Because boxing is getting interested too, man, right now. So let's do it. Let's do it.
And by the way, now we're going to get off because last Saturday the Rangers were playing at home at the Garden, and then literally a few miles into Brooklyn at the Barclays was the boxing match. Like, boxing is now it's a Barclays. It's a situation, not the Garden no more. And I hate to say that, but not that it should matter. Yeah, Barclays is taking all the Showtime fights, all the big fights. Call for what it is, man. The Garden, who knows when we get back to prominence on that level, but.
Right.
All right, Chris, we'll enjoy the finals, and we'll talk next week. We'll get it.
Sangria!
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?